Psalms 116. Turn to 103, I'm sorry. Then we'll go to 116. We'll read a couple of verses here. And let me, just by way of introduction, the more I study Christians of the past, I don't know what the word is. I don't think Christians ought to get discouraged, but the more, there's got to be a better, the more discouraged they get about Christianity in 2013. Might we at this church be New Testament Christians? See, it's not easy. We're so influenced. Forget the world. We're so influenced by other Christians. But I'm refreshed as I just, and I'll mention, I'm going to get ahead of my sermon, and I gave the illustration, I don't know, a year or two ago about Eric Liddell, and I'm gonna get invisible tomatoes thrown at me right now, but I compare Eric Liddell with, what's quarterback, the Christian quarterback? Tim Tebow. I'm not against Tim Tebow. Are you ready to throw the tomatoes at me? Tim Tebow shouldn't be playing professional football. You say, why? He can't be in church. How are you going to forsake? You say, oh, I told you the tomatoes were coming. Now, he's maybe my favorite football player. But I'll tell you this, I'll confess, he shouldn't be. I don't think I ought to have any favorite football players. My daughter, you got me started. It's all your fault. My daughter said, yeah, I like the New England Patriots. I like the Patriots, too. I like just Patriots. Oh, I like Tom Brady. Tom Brady used to be my favorite quarterback. But when I start to think about it, I'm thinking, let's get in the sermon. You know, Eric Liddell said, I won't run the Olympic. He was a record holder holding a track star. And I'm going to get ahead of my sermon, but he said, and he was getting going to run Olympics, and you know, everybody's proud of your and he was from Scotland, and everybody's like, yes, he's gonna put us on the Olympic map. He said, my race is on Sunday. He said, I'll not run. I ain't running. The politicians, the newspaper writers, they crucified him. By the way, one day they were spreading out the palm branches and praising Jesus. That's the same crowd that crucified him. Okay, that's why we ought to look for to please Jesus. But it's refreshing to read about true New Testament Christianity. And when you rub shoulders, it's just, I call it food for the soul. It just does something for your soul. And then the lukewarm Laodicean type Christianity, it doesn't do anything for your soul. It does something for your flesh. And when you're done with this, you just feel sort of empty. So anyway, Psalms 103. Put your Tim Tebow tomatoes in back, okay? I still think he's a pretty good guy, but I think we give him way too much credit. He had to be in church today. Actually, he played yesterday. I don't know if they won. Whose team is he on now? Oh, that's right, he's Patriots. Anyway, let's go. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's remember the benefits of the Lord. Man, we're saved. We got his word. We're sealed. I mean, listen. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity. Aren't you glad your sins are forgiven? Man, it'd be horrible. Just put your head on that pillow and say, man, I can sleep well tonight. Say, why? It's not because you're a good guy, because we have a wonderful God that forgives us dum-dums. Come on, we can't even learn our lessons. Listen, you've committed that sin 55 times in the last 5 days. Forsake it. Confess it. he forgives it, forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Isn't he so merciful? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Turn over now back to Psalms 116, please. Psalms 116. Verse number 1. I love the Lord. Hope you love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice. We love him because he first loved us, the Bible says. And my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. So slip all the way down to verse 12 again. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits? Yes, that's the question. Since God's been so good, what are we going to do for him? What are we going to do for him? Or what do we get to do for him? Okay, let's do something for him. Not because we have to. Not because he's going to clobber us if we don't. Let's do it because of what he's done for us. Father, help us as we just stay a little bit on the same theme and understand you want all of our hearts. You deserve all of our heart. You've done so much for us. Let's go ahead and render some back to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Just real quickly, our service for God should be out of a grateful spirit to him. If our service for the Lord is out of a spirit of gratitude, we will always be saying, you got to be kidding me, in regards to our service for him. Then occasionally we need to pull back and count our blessings regularly. This happens by spending time in his word and spending time intentionally counting your blessings. And then, that's a review, we should strive to do more for God out of a love and out of gratitude. Not less. Let me talk to Brother Myers here a minute. How old are you? 50. Okay, since when I started talking about sports, some of you woke up. Okay. So someone says when preachers turn 40, they start going downhill. Rick Pitino said he fires all of his coaches when they hit 40. You say, why? They lose a drive. Now look, Brother Myers and I, we've made so many mistakes, especially him. We have a little bit more to offer. You don't get older and serve the Lord less. Now you might not have as much energy, and you might not as much, you know, physical stamina, but we can, listen, the longer you serve the Lord, the more you ought to do for him. Well, you know, I'm 50 and I feel pretty good. I had my carrot celery juice. I had my health food bread this morning. I feel pretty good. Had some supplement vitamins, alfalfa sprouts and all that stuff. But we should strive to do more for God out of our love and gratefulness to him. You know, there's one part of me, and I believe it's my flesh. And I think it's sometimes when I just get tired or maybe I get a little weary. And that's why we need to not be working in the energy of the flesh. We need to be working in the energy of the spirit and yield ourselves to God and abide in Christ. But sometimes I'm like, let's just settle down. Let's just settle down. Let's just, Brother Joseph, you're up there. You're probably up around 60 or so. No, he's probably in his early 40s or late 30s or something. Hey, let's, 30s, 32. Maria, does he lie in church as much as he, no, I'm just kidding. 42, okay, 42. It's like, hey, let's kick back. Ryan, your kids are growing up. Let's just serve the Lord. Let's just keep the kids out of the trouble. And let's just sort of enjoy life together. But God says, hey, listen, there's a lost world out there that needs Jesus Christ. There's something that we can do to help our church, our families, our community get the gospel out there. Let's be salt. Let's be light in our communities. We can do more. Okay? You can call it maybe enamored. I'm enamored by what the separate Baptist people did to save our nation in the 1700s. These guys were animals. Daniel Marshall was 65 years old when he started his first church in Georgia. By the way, Georgia has more Baptist Christians in their state than any state, you think maybe Texas, but than any state in the country. The first Baptist church started in Georgia was by a guy by the name of Daniel Marshall. 65. You know what he said, Brother Myers? He said, I'm not going to, when I hit 40, just sort of lay back. Not when I hit 50. He said, listen, the time to take it easy is when we get to heaven. We can do more. By the way, we're not doing more out of guilt. We're doing more out of gratitude to the Lord Jesus. And then we said also, it's a lot better to totally serve the Lord out of gratitude than to have the Lord shake you and to serve you. Listen, God, well, if we're born again, if we are God's people, he's going to shake us until we serve him. Okay? He's going to chasten us. I mentioned Bob over here in his wheelchair last week, and after church, he said, Pastor, thank you for sharing that. He said, thank you for sharing that with the people. He says, and by the way, Bob sits over here in his wheelchair now with Bible verses on his wheelchair. Okay? He has a hard time talking. He had a major stroke. But he talks. He has a hard time moving. But actually, some of the folks in our church put some new verses on his wheelchair so when he sits there, people can see the verses. Okay? By the way, we can put tracts in our pockets. We can pass them out. And then I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. And this is the message. This is I was reviewing, and this is basic message. What can we render unto the Lord? Well, what can we render unto the Lord? We can render him first place in our life. First. Matthew 6. And then we're going to look over to Proverbs chapter 3. Matthew chapter 6. What can we render? God's been so good to us. What can we do? We can choose to have God first place. It's a choice. You say, well, I don't feel that way. Well, get in line. We're all like that every once in a while. Look at verse 19. Lay not up for your, Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And God's just trying to communicate something. This stuff, it's relatively worthless if you're just laying it up for yourselves. But he said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And then, very familiar portion of Scripture, go look over to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? You ever do that? We all take thought what we should eat. Okay, I know it's a hard one. You know, he's saying, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about it. Just take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And you notice he mentioned God is our Father. He said he knows what you need. Aren't you glad God knows what we need this morning? He knows. Verse 33, but seek ye first. Can everybody say first? First. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, Pastor, what can we do for the Lord? We can put him first. What can we render to the Lord? What, listen, after all of his benefits, what can I give to God? We can do this. God, you're first. You're first in everything. We talk about stewardship. You're first in my treasures. You're first in my time. You're first in my talents, okay? You can have my talents. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, another familiar verse to us, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6. Got it? Proverbs 3, 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first, everybody say first, first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And that was not the wine you were drinking last night. What can we render unto the Lord? We could render first, having him first place in our lives. The missionary, hey guys, do me a favor. You guys that are cooking out there, if you guys aren't helping, come to church. You guys out in the patio, come to church, okay? This is church time, not hanging out by the food time. Thanks. Good. It's church time. And if we'll figure that out later. Anyway, I know. You say, oh, Pastor, you're supposed to walk in the Spirit. I am. Spirit, you know what we're doing? God's first. This is time we open the Bible and let's have church. Anyway, I know someone already gave them permission to do that, but I just had to get that out of my system. The native in the foreign mission field had the twins, and one of them was very deathly ill, and they were going to sacrifice one of the twins to their false god. I think it was in the Nile River, crocodile fill infested river, and they took the best. There was one that was deathly ill, and there was one that was very healthy. And they took the healthy one, and they were going to sacrifice this baby. And the missionary said, "Why don't you give the sick one? The sick one's going to die. The sick one is deathly ill, and why don't you keep the good baby?" And the native said, "I don't know about your God, and I don't know what you think about your God, but we think our God should get the best." And that's for all of us. And God should be first. Okay? And I know you would expect this out of a pastor, but the first thing I do in my check, I don't ever see my check. Actually, we have auto-deduction. Okay, and our tithe comes out of that auto deduction, and then our missions comes out of that auto deduction, and then our building comes out of the auto deduction. What are you saying? We're saying before we pay our electric bill, before we pay our mortgage payment, before we do anything, God is first. God is first. Right now, how many Dodger fans? Come on, I'm a Dodger fan. So how many Dodger fans? Okay, right now, it's a frenzy right now. Okay, you say you know, Doyers and everything, all over the world, all over the world, and man, you know, you wonder if they're going to lose. They are, okay, but right now the whole sports thing. But I opened up with the introduction and got the tomatoes out, but you know, and actually I was looking for, and I didn't had one of my children look for it. Looking for this Eric Liddell, trying to get a little bit more details about his testimony. And they have all these websites about Christian guys in professional sports. Who? Christian athletes. Thanks. Stay out of my preaching. All these Christian athletes. And I'm not against the Christian athlete. I'd rather you be an athlete that's saved than an athlete that's not saved. I think we give him too much credit. There's a guy, he has a ministry, it's called Family Ministries, Pastor Comer. You guys know that, Comer? And he was a professional, and he wasn't Alex Rodriguez. I don't mean illegal, you know, steroids, but he wasn't that caliber of a baseball player, but he was a professional baseball player, and then he got saved. And then he continued and he said, wait a minute, I can't really put God first place and continue to play professional baseball. You know what he did? He gave up his contract and said, if I'm going to be a first type Christian, I can't play professional baseball. The Eric Liddell story, I'm going to read it for you. You say, Pastor, what's the point? The point is this. We sort of pat ourselves on the back for a certain brand of Christianity that I'm not even sure is really pleasing to God. You say, what is really pleasing to God? We're God's first place. God's first place in your workplace, and if your workplace will not allow God to give you that freedom to have him first place, then I think what the Lord would say, well, let's start praying about a new job. By the way, somebody here no doubt is dating. I don't know who you're dating or you're courting or you're date courting or court dating. And let me say this. I remember as I first started, when I first put God first place in my life, I made a decision. I said, listen, God's going to be first place. And I was dating a girl, Brother Myers knew who she was, and she didn't want me to have God first place. Guess what I said? Sayonara. That's Japanese, right? Adios. Tolo, adios. Okay? In English, that's bye-bye. By the way, men, if you don't have the spiritual fortitude to do that, you need to get your nose in the Bible. Okay? By the way, and once you're married, it's over. Don't get any ideas. Okay, once you're married, now you got to figure out how with God and his Holy Spirit and his word, how you as a family are going to make it. And by the way, Dad, you're the key. You put first place. Well, my wife won't follow me. Rarely have I met the wife where the man, I don't mean for 1 week or 1 month, but he says, I am going to faithfully serve the Lord and God's word is going to be central in my life. I tell you what, 9 times out of 10, if not more, the wife will follow. Now, if you're sort of wishy-washy and sort of a mushroom Christian, you know, that might not happen. The crack of the starter gun echoed through the stadium on the hot Friday evening of July 1924. Bobby, I hate to say this, you won't hear this happening today. You just won't. You won't hear what I'm about to read happen today. You say, why? It's the brand of Christianity that's in the world. Like Tozier said, let's not let the culture dictate what happens in us and in his church. The crack of the starter gun echoed through the stadium on a hot Friday evening in July 1924. Eric Liddell sprinted forward in his unusual running style, his head thrown back, his arms waving at his side, his feet barely touching the track as he ran. No one, not even Eric himself, thought he had a chance of winning the 400-meter race. He'd not run the 400-meter race. That was not his race. But Eric was determined to do his best. Eric Liddell was Scotland's fastest sprinter. He was their hero, by the way, for a while. He had won every 100-meter race he had run since early in his running career. How many ran track in high school, junior high, elementary? Okay, you can tell for some of us a long time ago. Anyway, some of you look a little bit more like shot put throwers. Anyway, let's go on here. However, Eric had announced to his country that he could not run in the Olympic 100-meter race because the finals were scheduled on a Sunday. Now, for most people, like, big deal. My cousin's birthday's on Sunday. I won't go to church. This guy says, I'm not going to do this because that is a day when we get together with God's people. Because his finals were scheduled on Sunday. Sunday was a day of worship for Eric. He would not run even if he were his country's only hope of winning an Olympic gold medal. By the way, you know where he learned this? His parents. His parents were missionaries to China. Parents, you be inconsistent in your church attendance. When your kids grow up, you hardly see them in church. Right. Yeah. There's always a good reason not to be in church. There went those spiritual tomatoes again. He would not run even if he were his country's only hope of Olympic gold medal. This made the Scottish people very upset. By the way, they don't have the details here, but I read some material before. And I mean, they crucified him. I mean, they blasted him. The political leaders blasted him because he would not run that race. Because, hey, listen, they had pride in their country, and he was going to represent the country. They wrote bad things about him in the newspaper. Some people even called him a traitor. But Eric stood firm. He had never run on Sunday and never would. Not even for an Olympic gold medal. With very little time remaining before the Olympics began, Eric trained and qualified for another race that was not scheduled on a Sunday. Eric knew his chance of winning the 400-meter race was slim because two of the runners of this, he hadn't run, that was not his race, because two of the runners in this race had set world record times. So he's going to be competing against these two world record holders in this 400-meter race. In addition, on the day of the race, Eric was assigned the worst lane. You know, I guess that's the outside lane. I don't know. But a note in his pocket encouraged him. The team trainer had given it to him before he had left his hotel room. Actually, I'd heard another story that someone ran on the track. So I don't know. You know, there's different stories that someone ran on the field and gave it to him. But it read from 1 Samuel 2:30. He who honors him, he will honor. Eric knew his decision not to run on Sunday honored God. As Eric rounded the turn on the track where all the runners usually come together, he expected to see the world record holders ahead of him, but he was there alone. He threw his head back and even more than usual and pumped his legs as fast as he could. Eric crossed the finish line first, winning the gold medal. He had also set a new world's record. Eric received a hero's welcome when he returned home. Remember, those that were crucifying him, now he's a hero. The applause of men doesn't last very long, okay? The newspapers now, Eric received a hero's welcome when he returned home. The newspapers now tried to outdo each other praising him. But Eric knew their praise would not last long. He would soon announce his plan to stop running and go to China as a missionary. Eric Liddell was born in China. His parents were missionaries there. He spent his early years in playing among the Chinese children. He spoke their language perfectly. He knew God was calling him to return to China. It was a very dangerous time to return to China. Japanese soldiers had invaded China and were treating the Chinese people badly. They killed many of them, burned their villages, destroyed their crops. When Eric arrived in China, it was even worse than he expected. It was not that the land he had left for many years. The Chinese, whom he had once played with, now did not want foreigners in their country. By the way, you say, why are you reading this, Pastor? It's good that even an athlete, even someone that nationally is very well known, and nationally there's a lot of pats on their back, they say, listen, God is still first place in my life. I don't need to live for the prestige and the pats on the back of my, though I'm not going to be critical of them, but listen, I want to do and I've decided to do the will of God. Despite the difficulties, Eric stayed in China. He was sure God had called him to China. He began teaching in a British-run Chinese college. He loved teaching the boys and challenging them in sports. Life would not remain so simple for him. The conditions in China were growing worse by the day. The mission board chairman asked Eric to move to the area in which he had grown up. The people there needed comfort and hope in the midst of the Japanese devastation. Many Chinese people in this area also hated Christians. Missionaries were likely to be shot without question. Eric discussed it with his wife, and though it was hard to leave, he knew he was the best person to go. And I'll read it, and just about done. He had to carry the injured to the hospital on his bike over rough roads with dodging gunfire. Sometimes it would take an entire day to get to the village hospital. In the meantime, the Japanese were taking over more of the country, and there was talk that all foreigners would be locked up. The day quickly arrived when all foreigners were forced to move into an overcrowded prison camp. They lived in very bad conditions. There was no running water, the bathroom did not work, and they were given only a small bowl of soup and bread at each meal. Eric made the best of it. He knew they could be there for a very long time. He set up church services, schooling for the children. This was in the prison camp. Different activities, and helped them to care for their sick. He became the most respected person in the camp because of his good attitude. However, after being in the camp for almost 2 years, Eric became very ill. He was 43. He had a stroke, and when it was unable to walk, Eric now, the super athlete, who is at now only 43, began to have trouble breathing. A little girl had come to visit, ran to get help. When she returned with Eric's, with a friend of Eric's, Eric Liddell looked at the friend, and he said, "It is surrender." By the way, come to find out that the British government had done a deal with the Japanese to release Eric Liddell. This was all behind the scenes. This just came out, 2008 Olympics in China. And they did a deal, and they said, if you let Eric Liddell out, we'll give you some of your prisoners. And so they came to Eric Liddell to release him because they'd done the deal, and there was a sick, pregnant lady in the prison camp. And he basically begged them to say, instead of letting me out, why don't you take her out? You say, Pastor, what's the point here? The point is this. What can we render unto the Lord? Let's do this, church. Let's put God first place in our lives. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed.